We have this war machine that was built on a lie.
Charlie, way to go. You just got probation and 30
days. There's no specific documentation to suggest anywhere so far as my legal research has been.
We're hoping it provides an impetus to get more people to quit smoking.
Well, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And like the lady said to me in an email the other day, she said, that person that you hire to do all of those voices, I thought truth was your bitch. And I resisted the obvious retort. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. If you don't understand the irony of what I just said, if you don't understand the irony of what I just told you about the lady writing to me and saying that truth I thought was your bitch and yet you do those funny voices, then you probably should just keep right on going.
Yeah, just keep moving along.
Just keep moving. Nothing to see here. 877-876-PHIL, although there is something to see here. It's on our website right now, as a matter of fact. It is our video cast as well as our audio cast, as well as, guess what, the download started today, and we are over on iTunes, so take your iPod, your iPhone, your whatever, you know, whatever you or I would like to use, and you get an automatic download of the Phil Hendry Show, not only our daily show, but also our classic Phil Hendry bits. And we have one up right now called Plane Go Boom. It is the original Plane Go Boom bit. We give a little bit of context on that bit, how it started, when it started, where it started, when will it end. We don't know. It's over there on iTunes. It is the Phil Hendry Show and Phil Hendry Classic Podcasts. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And a very pleasant Monday to you. And it's the beginning of another week, and we still got plenty of summer. It's going to be a beautiful thing. The Parents Television Council's going after Bleep My Dad Says, you know, S My Dad Says. And let's see, Sarah Palin says President Obama doesn't have the, quote, cojones to protect our borders, end quote. Well, that's a very civilized thing to say, wouldn't you say? And then Stephen Bozell joins us later on. Also, Jack, a very special guest. We only use his first name, Jack. On how one American family is surviving this recession, which my understanding is today we had across the board, things were looking pretty good in the stock exchange and the different trading exchanges around the world. Also tonight we have Bud's Nightly News, the Bud Dickman Nightly News. Our number 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight, is on Seattle, Cairo, 97.3 FM, and in Santa Barbara, KIST 1490 AM. Jack joins us, and I say just his first name because when he tells you his story, I'm sure you'll understand. And it's a very unusual way for a family to survive. Jack, good evening.
Good evening, Phil.
Jack, your family, like so many American families, is finding it very difficult to get by, and I understand that. I saw today Ben Bernanke saying that while the economy is, you know, slowly coming out of what it has been going through, there are people still wrestling with unemployment. Can you tell me what it was that you were doing before you lost your job?
Well, I was basically a political writer. I was also a pollster. I was also a writer. And that's a very tenuous way of making a living. There's no question about it, because you know, those jobs are you get paid by the job. You're not necessarily on staff, or you know, not employed by other people. So,
and did the jobs just dry up? The writing jobs and the polling jobs.
Well, they didn't just dry up to say that there were none, but none came along of the substantial amount in terms of how much money you're going to be paid to cover the bills of our home, even though we had done the best we could to cut back. I have a daughter and a son living with us, my wife and myself. We live in a home in Thousand Oaks, California, and it's not a big house. It's not an expensive house, but we still carry a mortgage on it that we could not afford, you know.
And what about the basics?
Well, food and clothing and utilities, these are all you have to be paid, you know. And when you start to see that your bank account is beginning to shrink, and you start to see that you can't make these payments, you know, without going into debt. We went into credit card debt. We used up a line of credit that we had on the house. We are now 2 months in arrears, or not now, but we were in 2 months in arrears on the house. And that was also scary because they start to send you the, you know, the notices. And I want to say at this time, by the way, Phil, that the Obama mortgage plan to save homes is a scam. It's a lie.
What do you mean the Obama plan?
Well, all of this stuff that they talk about, the Treasury Department or what have you, I don't know, you know, that Obama said that they were going to put things into place that was going to save homes and people could go and get relief and people could go and they could get a grace period and all of this is a lie. I dealt with Chase Bank. It's a lie. Those people tell you something different every day. They tell you something different every day. I went to them and I said, here's my file. And they said, oh, maybe we can you afford this? And maybe we can get the payment reduced. I said, yes, I could afford that. Yes, I could afford that. And then they come back 3 days later. They say, oh, you know, you better get ready to move.
Yeah. Wait. They came to you and they said, this was Chase?
This was Chase Bank, yes.
And they came to you and said that they had a number for you. Could you afford it? And you said, yes. And so you're thinking, cool, they came up with a number you can afford.
Yes, I'm thinking that this is the answer to a prayer. And then I get the next week, you better get ready to move. And I said, what about President Obama? What about President Obama and all of the promises he made? And this lady I'm talking to on the phone says, oh, you can't believe everything you hear.
Good God.
Yes. So this brought my wife to tears, and this brought a great deal of sadness, you know, to me. And because we had bought this house 10 years ago and had a great, put a lot of work into it, you know. And
no, I understand. I understand.
So what we did was when things start to get difficult, I sat my family down, and we had a discussion, and I said that I had spoken to my son, particularly because this would deal with his mother and sister, you know, and that we had come to the conclusion that I wanted them to tell me how they felt about it, you know, that it was very difficult for a man to say this to his wife and daughter, that we would have to, for us to survive, that is to stay in our house, you know, and to survive, that we'd have to get her to my wife and my daughter to turn out, you know, as escorts.
To get your wife, to turn your wife and daughter out as escorts. Sex, in other words, into the sex trade.
Yes, sir. And I asked my wife, I asked my daughter, I said...
Now, wait a minute, how old is the daughter?
She is 19. She was 18 at the time, she's 19.
19.
Yes, sir.
And how old is your wife?
She's 39.
39.
Yes. And I said to them, this is the most difficult thing that any man in the world would have to go through this. But right now, the American people and I said to my wife, the American people have been lied to, and look what's happened to us, you know.
Now, you're talking, Mr. Jack, I know your last name, and I don't want to give it out. You're talking now about the mortgage, the Obama mortgage plans?
I'm talking about this entire administration, this president, who lied about the relief he's going to give American people, and look what happened. I had to go to my wife and go to my daughter, and I had to say to them that I don't know what else we can do. I can't find the kind of work that is going to pay enough for us to get to save our home. So I asked them, I said, if you would work in this kind of sex trade business, because I know that the price, that money that is made there by the hour, by the weekend, what have you.
Good. I can't imagine having a conversation like that with a wife and a daughter.
It was the most difficult conversation I ever have in my life.
What did they say to you?
They surprisingly understood because they had seen for the months that we lived how difficult it was for me to get the jobs, difficult it was for me to get good writing jobs, you know. At the one point, my wife did take an office job. My daughter left school for a while to took a job to try to help us make ends meet, and there was nothing. You know, my son is a little young to do that. We wanted him to stay, about to finish high school.
And now, I wanted to ask you a question here. You said you consulted with your son.
Well, I talked about it with my son.
You talked it over with your son about your mother and your daughter and your daughter working in the sex trade business.
Yeah, I wanted to get. I wanted him to know. He's a young man. I wanted him to know, and I wanted to get his feedback.
And now, why would you get the feedback of a young man? Of how old is he?
17.
Why would you get the feedback of a young man of 17? You know.
Well,
before you talk to your wife.
Well, he's a man, and this is ultimately something that, while of course you want to get the opinion of the wife. And I wanted to get the opinion of my daughter. It's important for the pride of a man. In my case, I'm the father. In this case, he's the brother. It's important for the pride of a man to say, are you going to be okay with if we turn your sister out, you know? And
what did he say?
He said, yeah, you know, he understood that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he sounded very casual.
No, he's not casual, but he understood the challenges the family had. And when I said to him, what do you think of your sister as this escort? And he's a teenager. He says, you know, whatever.
Whatever? I mean, see, to me, that doesn't sound like a normal response.
No, it wasn't whatever as in I don't care. It was, what are we going to do? What are we going to do, you know?
So in the months, and this started, I think you told me, sometime last fall, right?
That's correct, yes.
In the ensuing months, you have been able to save your home.
That is correct, yes.
And you have acted, and by the way, have you set this up as an independent business?
It's an independent business, and we recognize that we run afoul of the law, that this kind of escort business where sex is involved is not legal in the state of California. And so I know that I run a risk of you know, losing it all, you know, but it's better that, I guess, than...
You're willing to run the risk of losing your freedom?
Yes, sir.
To save your home, and have you been able to do that? Have you been able to save your home?
Oh, yes. We have the obvious income that comes from this. We've saved not only the home, but we paid for the rest of my daughter's school. And we've been able to add to, you know, some of the finer things, the leisures that we have. Picked up a kayak and a catamaran sailboat, you know, just these things. Because it has been a godsend.
And how do you feel today, even though you're making that kind of money and saving that kind of money, that your wife and daughter are out there doing that?
It was difficult at the first time, but... Now I see it saved our home. It's still, I still feel, I'm still bothered by it. I'm still bothered by it.
You're still bothered, even though it saved your home?
It saved the home, and we've had good, you know, some good times with the money that we've made. But I don't want you to think, I don't want your audience to think it doesn't bother me.
All right, Jack is his name, and that is the only name he will give us, and the reason being that he runs an escort service where he employs his wife and daughter, and it is a sex-for-hire business, a sex-trade business, and in so doing, they have been able to save their home, they have been able to put some money in the bank, they have been able to do what a federal mortgage plan couldn't do, what the U.S. government couldn't do, what his income couldn't do. He has, as he said, turned out his wife and daughter. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Your phone calls for Jack, our guest, next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk to Jack, who is a listener and is a guest. And a lot of people are asking, where did you find Jack? We know him, and we've known his work in the past. We know him to be a man who works in a different line of business. But this economy, this recession has hit his family in such a way as they were going to lose their house. He had no income, and he started an escort service for a gentleman with his wife and daughter. Do you have any other employees?
In the sense that
in other sex workers?
No, the only two are yes, my wife and my daughter, and you know I anticipate still what the people might want to say to me, and I say you can't judge me because you don't know what I was involved in, and because I can imagine people would say if you turn out your wife and daughter, what does that make you? And I would say to them, you have no right to judge.
Well, I'm not. I hope you don't think I'm judging you. I'm listening.
No, I know you're not, but I've done enough conversation with some people, and I know people will say they judge me. You can't judge me. What I've been through, and we were going to lose our home, and everything that we had been accustomed to, we had to suddenly do ourselves. You know, so it's a difficult thing for me to have to do. It's made us a lot of money. There's no question now that we can keep our home. And I'm very grateful that has been the case. But I'm also mindful of that it's my wife and my daughter who are out having sex with strangers. And but they, I sat them down, and they agreed to it. So,
do you feel that because your wife and daughter agreed to it, you have your conscience is clear?
Oh my God, yes. I don't. I feel bad, but I don't blame myself so much as I blame the circumstance. And again, when you look at Obama and what he did, promising this mortgage relief, he lied. And now I look at my wife and daughter go out the door at night to do what they do. Because
Obama, you can't. Now this is where I would argue with you. Are you telling me that Obama is the reason why your wife and your daughter?
No, I'm not to say that Obama. I'm not so stupid and I'm not so shallow as to say that Obama is the reason why my wife and my daughter work in the sex trade business. But if Obama had been truthful with his mortgage relief stuff that he talked about, then I would not have had to make the moral decision I made. No one listening tonight can deny that they would do the exact same thing if they're in my position.
And I wouldn't do it, but that's just me.
You can't, but you've never been.
How do you know I've never been in your position? You don't know, man. You don't know. I mean, sometimes you just have to let the house go back to the bank.
You don't have to let the house go back to the bank. That's what, I think that's the way a loser thinks. Yeah, and I'm not a loser.
All right, I want to get into the particulars of your business. It's illegal to run a sex-for-trade business in California. The reason why I say it's illegal in California, I know that possibly in some states it might be legal in terms of the escort aspect. I know it's legal in parts of Canada. So how do you run this business?
It's a consultancy business. We obviously, and I'm clear that the money is laundered through the front door, you know.
So you just simply say to the bank that this is money?
This is money from a consulting business, yeah. And that's the way we can run a credit card as well as take cash, a check. I wish that there was something else I could do. I wish I didn't do this to my wife, my daughter, but I want to say it's not my fault that Obama did make me do it, and I know that's not fair, but in much of this economy, I didn't do it, and a lot of people didn't. So I turned my wife and my daughter out to make my life a better thing.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with some phone calls for Jack here as he talks about the sex trade business he got into because of the economy. 877-876-PHIL.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're going to get into some phone calls this quarter hour with Jack, who is actually is an acquaintance of ours, known to this radio show because he's done a lot of political consultancy work. But the bottom line is his business has gone south. The economy has gone south. A lot of people are suffering, and he is suffering right along with them, Jack, to the point where you've started an escort, a sex escort business with your wife and your daughter, and you are running this as a consultancy. So you're going around the law in a lot of different ways.
Yes, I'm going around the law in a lot of different ways, but I am in the same shoes that a lot of Americans are in, and I don't think that it's different for me. I don't think it's any different for me than anybody else to say that times are difficult, you know. And my wife and my daughter understand that times are difficult. You know, if they get sick, if they get they get their prime of the month, and they don't want to go out that night, and my daughter will say to me, "Daddy, you don't know what that does to a father."
I can't even begin to imagine. I can't even begin to imagine.
It is the sickest feeling, and yet I say to her, "You've got to get out. You've got to get out. Now, get out." But
if she's sick, you know, and...
Yeah, they're sick and they don't feel well. And yet, we are all going to be hungry. And so I tell them, get your clothes on, and I drive them to the hotel or where they're going. And I tell them, get up there. I don't want to. But I, in my own heart and in my own mind, all I can think of is the fact that we did not have anything, and this has saved us.
If your daughter and your wife are sick, though, and they cannot go out and work, then they can't go out and work.
No, they can't go out and work. They got to get out and work. And the night my daughter said that she was sick, I said, "I know you're sick. I'm sick. I'm sick of this world we have to live in. But you're going to get out." And I pushed her into the car, you know.
You pushed your own daughter into a car? You pushed your daughter into what car?
Into the car when I was driving her mother and her to the hotel for these gentlemen. They were in town on some kind of business. And her mother yelled at me, and I pushed her mother away, and I grabbed her by the hair. I said to both of them, I said, "Listen, you have to understand what's going on here." And it was traumatic, and it was emotional, and I'm disgusted. I had to slap my own daughter. I have to slap my own wife.
Are you telling me you're slapping your daughter and you're slapping your wife, huh, when you...
You have to, Mr. Henry, because... This is what the economy has done to this family, my family, that Obama would turn my wife and my daughter into a field slot.
877-876-PHIL, you said that you couldn't blame Obama for this. Are you changing your tune?
No, I'm not, but I got to tell you, every time when I slapped my daughter that night and I said, "Get your," and I said some things I regret, you know. I could see Obama laughing, you know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Here's Howard. Go ahead, Howard. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jack.
Yes, Jack. It sounds like you're trying to, you know, blame Obama here. But I
that's not right of me to do that. You're right. I don't mean to do that.
I mean, Obama is just our president. He's our president. I respect him. I didn't vote for him, but... Say the least, I lost my house last year, and, you know, I never entered my mind to, you know, do what you're doing. with my little girl, my wife.
If you had to do it, you'd still have your house, though. My daughter is
I could care less about my house. I'm sorry.
My daughter is a 19-year-old My daughter's a 19-year-old woman. Not a little girl.
I have three daughters. I have a 10-year-old, a 29-year-old, and a 31-year-old. And I'm sorry. I would never do this. I'm sorry. I just, number one, it's illegal. Secondly,
I guess you didn't hear me. I said I've got my daughter is of age. I didn't say for you to do a 10-year-old. You make me feel dirty when you say that.
Of course not. No, I have a 29-year-old and a 31-year-old, too. Okay.
Are they live at home?
Yes. They have before, up until I lost my house. But to say the least, I just downsized. We're in another home
downsized.
Now. I'm working. I'm making,
yeah.
I
Are you renting another house? Are you renting another house?
I'm renting a house.
I just said you lost your home.
Yes, sir.
And I thought you might say to me that I'm not a man to do this, what I do, but I mean, what kind of a man is it that loses his home, too, you know?
Well, wait a minute. You're not saying, I don't want to start comparing manhood here. Okay.
All right. No, but I.
Now, I think this man has been very kind to you. He's just saying it's something he couldn't do.
I understand. I apologize. I say, though, losing my home is something I could not do.
Yeah, but
all right.
No, it sounds like
Howard, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Greg on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Did you say Greg?
Yes, sir, Greg. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm probably be less kind. This guy's sick, man. His daughter and his wife aren't sick. He's sick. Any man who would turn out his daughter, he didn't turn them out. You sold them out. You didn't save your home. You destroyed your home.
I did not sell them out.
To save a house. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous.
It's a 6,000 square foot home. It's got the we've got 3 acres.
Let me ask you, where are you from originally?
That doesn't matter where I'm from originally.
I think it does. I think your culture plays into the fact that you treat your women as though you're property, and they're not property.
Okay.
They're human beings.
Where are you from, Jack? Were you born in the States?
No.
Where were you born?
I was born in Holland.
You're from the Netherlands.
That's correct. That's got nothing to do with it, though. I came here when I was college student. I become an American. If you want to ask about the culture I'm from, I became an American citizen. I became an American citizen, you idiot.
Wait, whoa. Watch the name calling.
Well, he's not listening to me. I became an American citizen.
I've been called worse by a lot better friends.
I bet you have, yeah. Because you don't listen to people.
Yeah,
I'm an American citizen. Blah, 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 blah.
You should be.
Blah, blah, blah.
Look at Jack. Hold on for a minute. Jack, you're asking people to accept the fact that your wife and daughter work in a sex trade business that you started to save your home, okay?
I told this man, he says he wants to impugn my national origin. I said to him that I'm American.
I understand, but you can't go mocking people with the blah, 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 blah.
All he can say is, oh, you come from the Netherlands, you must be some kind of pimp. That doesn't speak well.
No, I just said I think you tend to treat your women more like cattle than you do human beings, which is what they are. I mean, you take no accountability.
Is that right?
What were
you doing with your time? Do you know how much money this country spends on the sex trade? America spends more money on sex.
On
buying magazines.
I don't put a time into it myself.
America treats its women worse than anything I've ever
seen.
I'm
American. I don't put a dime into it. What were you doing while they're doing
all
this? Not at
all. No, you probably spend about $20 a year on that one subscription.
Were you working two jobs?
Okay.
I can't hear this jackass.
All right, but I'm going to ask you, Jack. I'm going to hang up on you if you insult my callers one more time.
I can't hear what the guy is saying.
You don't want.
Would you repeat your question? Would you repeat your question?
What was he doing while he's turning them out? What's he doing to try to make a living so that he doesn't have to do this? He says he can't. He knows he can't get a job.
What are you doing? I am working. I'm managing the business. I manage the business.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Well, nice talking to you, Slim. You know, these guys, he wants to judge me. That's fine. But how much money do you put into the subscription to the Vanessa Del Rio website? Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about
it. All right. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. I think it's the it's not a very strong way to argue by impugning the moral motives of people who are asking you about yours.
No, I think it's a very Phil. It's a good question. I say to people, okay. So I turned my wife and my daughter out, but do you know how much money is spent in America on sex every year? to say that America is somehow sacrosanct and doesn't treat women like, as this man said, like a cattle. And I happen to know the money that he spent in America. These are Americans that are paying for this. And I would not be doing this were not for the fact that the Obama and his
okay, I heard about the Obama excuse, and I can't keep going down that road because there's a lot of people suffering in this economy that haven't started sex trade businesses featuring their wives and daughters. Here's J.D. on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Phil, I
77876. Phil, here is John in Pensacola. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, thanks, Phil. I'm kind of just completely disgusted at this. I'm in the same boat he is. I've lost my job. I was in the HVAC industry. I've been out of work for 6 months. You know, I mean, I was just lucky enough to have a little bit of cash to get me by. But I'm just thinking, you know, he's
a
father.
What's HVAC? What's the HVAC business?
It is heating, ventilation, and air conditioning.
I see.
And I'm just, I'm completely confused because you're supposed to be the provider, the protector of your family, and you're risking their lives by sending them into strange hotels with strange people.
Right.
And you're
what about
sitting
that?
There, you're playing Russian roulette with your children's lives.
I act as a bodyguard for them.
You're a bodyguard.
We have
okay.
Pagers, and
so that
if
makes
anything
everything
is wrong.
Better.
They
that
catch
makes everything
me.
Okay.
No, it doesn't make everything okay, but I can assure you that I go out on every job with them.
Okay.
Well, where are you, man?
I'm in the car downstairs.
You're in the car downstairs while they're up in the hotel?
Yes, the hotel. Generally the hotel.
Now, weren't you telling me that they go out of town with some of these guys?
Yes, they do. And, of course, this is much more money that people were talking about here. It could be anywhere from... for the entire weekend, you know, $10,000.
Okay, but
didn't
you say you made enough money to pay your bills, but now you're out buying stuff? You know, I mean, I'm not condoning this by any means. I think it's completely disgusting.
I made it to pay my bills, yeah.
Okay, well,
But you also said, what else are you buying?
What you mean, what else am I buying for what?
You said that you bought a catamaran.
I bought a catamaran to sail. It's a catamaran that I keep to sail around and relax in. Is that a criminal offense?
Yes, it is. When you're using illegal money that you pimped your wife and your daughter out.
Yeah, good
That's
point.
That's disgusting.
Good point.
No, the catamaran, you were talking to me about I should not buy a catamaran. Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm telling you shouldn't be pimping your daughter and your wife out. You know, I'm a married man. I'm not a father yet, but I would kill myself before I would ever even consider going down that road. I would work 15 jobs.
What if you talked to them and said, here is...
No, I would never. I would never, ever. You know, if my father asked my mother to do that, he wouldn't be on this planet anymore. Okay?
Even if it was going to save your life, even if it was going to save your home and save your school, you must be crazy.
No, he's... I'm sorry, I got to jump in here, John. I apologize. No, he's not crazy. There's certain things that a man can't stand there and watch happen without reacting.
You know, the problem here, and I suddenly realize both of you guys are, you watch too many John Wayne movies. See, I come from another country, you're right, I was born in another country, and I don't watch all the John Wayne movie. And
well, you said you're an American, you're into American culture.
I'm not into that aspect of American culture, where everything with you guys is a John Wayne movie.
I don't understand What does that mean, a John Wayne movie?
It means you want to ride to the defense of the damsel in distress, and you don't know the reality of life is you can't always save people that way.
I understand, but I mean, it's just, you know, I don't understand how you can look at yourself in the mirror or even look into your child's eyes and know that you're doing something that should never, ever, ever be done. You know, I mean, why couldn't you go out and get another job? Why couldn't you go in
what was
day
I going
labor?
I was going to lose. We had the membership, which I suppose now you gentlemen are going to make fun of this, but you don't know what it meant to my business. I was losing a membership in one of the most prestigious golf clubs in America.
You're a waste of space.
Are you telling me you're pimping out your wife and daughter to keep your membership in a golf club?
This is a business connection that can never be made again. Never be made again. You understand?
Yeah. You know what? You're in the wrong business. You're in the wrong business. You know, if you think going to play golf, you know, 18 holes with some hobsnob people to pimp out your family, you know, you really need to stand back and you know.
You got a golf club membership that you had to save, huh?
Get a load of the two guys who are better than Jack, huh? Both you guys think you're better than me, right?
I am.
You make the business sound so much more seedy and dangerous than it is. The clients are not that bad. Some of them are good guys.
These are guys that are having sex with your wife and your daughter. These guys are good guys. And you want to know something else? Who knows what they've got at home? They probably got a wife and a daughter at home, too. And for you to make the payments on a golf club and a catamaran and your home, your 60,000, whatever.
No, 6,000 square foot, Mr. Henry. And what you've tried to do is make a man saving his family. You've tried to turn that into an ugly thing. A man saving his family. You have tried to turn that into an ugly thing.
No, I have not, sir. I got to take a break, though. I appreciate the call from John in Pensacola. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL. Now we know the guy's got a monthly golf club membership he's got to make. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Jack, a man who has started a sex trade business. His wife and daughter work in it. When all else failed, when the economy had him so wrapped up he couldn't get a job, he couldn't pay his bills, now he's got his wife and daughter as escorts. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We're talking here with Jack tonight, and Jack is a man in his 30s who, or 40s, Jack, correct?
Right, I'm 44 years old.
44 years of age, who has not had the most successful run here during this recession. Now, you're self-employed, you work by the job, you're a writer, and you've done some political consulting, and it just isn't coming your way these days, and so you had to downsize, and eventually, how much did you downsize?
Lucky, Phil, we didn't have to downsize all that much. I'm very grateful that we didn't, because I can tell you that had we had to downsize, would have been. I think it would have been very hard on the family, you know.
Well, you said that you were ready to lose your job. I mean, lose your house.
We were going to lose our house, but the good news is that we got. This business.
All right. So, in other words, your wife and your daughter working in this sex trade business that you started saved the house.
I think I made that clear, you know.
So, you never had to downsize. You never really sacrificed anything.
I think I have sacrificed a great deal. I've sacrificed, I think, more than any man to see my own wife and my own daughter go out of the house, you know, go out of the house. To go have sex with the, well, I don't know who.
But they're doing that at your behest. They're doing that as part of a business that you guys run. They're doing that. In fact, at one point you said you had to slap your daughter. And
you know, you take that to story. You take that story. You want it to sound like I'm some kind of a pimp, you know. And I'm not a pimp. I'm a good man that I've had a very difficult time in life, trying to fit in. I come from the Netherlands. I wanted to be a part of American politics, and America has reduced me to slapping my daughter in the face and pushing her into a limousine to make sure she gets to a hotel to have sex with I don't know who, a banker or some big shot. I wish that I could have been, but I'm not.
And you're blaming America for that.
No, I'm not blaming America. In a way, I'm blaming America, yeah, but I'm not blaming America totally.
877-876-PHIL. Phone call now going to Hagerstown, Pennsylvania. Listening to us on WEEO is Shannon. Go ahead, Shannon. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Jack. How you
Hello.
Doing? You know, I just want to say that, you know, I don't disagree with that. If a woman wants to go out and do this, that's within her rights.
Exactly.
Honestly.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't think it should be illegal, but Jack, you're not doing this to save your family. You've destroyed your family by doing this.
How do you know I destroyed my family? It's the second time someone has said that to me, and you don't know my family. You know, you have no idea
I know what
about
you said. You are slapping your wife. You're pulling your wife and your daughter's hair. You're forcing them into limousines. I mean, you've quite obviously been stated that you are forcing them to turn tricks to support your lifestyle, to give your
buy yourself
a sailboat. I mean, this isn't
one night
feeding hungry people, Jack.
The bitch. Did you just call her? Who did you call a bitch?
I didn't call the lady. This lady I didn't call.
No, you said one night the bitch.
My wife, yeah. She said to me.
Hold on for a minute, if you wouldn't mind, Shannon. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're continuing with Jack here on turning his wife and daughter out in a sex trade business. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil
Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We have this war machine that was built on a lie.
There's no specific documentation to suggest anywhere so far.
We're hoping it provides an impetus to get more people.
So after the tour, you're hitting the studio, new album, any future projects?
Lesbian, your mom's a lesbian.
It's a biohazard.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL, the only news talk and entertainment show that knows what in the hell it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we'll go anywhere, even through the looking glass, even through the membrane of another dimension, to find it. I want you to go over to our website right now. We have a website poll. Will Bleep My Dad Says be a success? You think that'll be a successful show, starring William Shatner? The S My Dad Says, based on that Twitter account, you know. What do you think, man? Go over to our website, philhendryshow.com. Vote on it. Yeah. Also, we have iTunes podcasts all set up and ready to rock and roll. So if you've got an iPod, if you've got an iPhone, and you want to get the iTunes iCast, or I should call it the podcast. We were going to call it the Fodcast, man, but that.
Yeah, that stupidest thing.
All right, we're not going to call it the FOD. We do like everything with the PH. Anyway, it's over there at iTunes. iTunes, check it out. Plus, we're going to be continuing here with Jack in just a moment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. On our website right now, live streaming video and audio of the show. Get a backstage pass. You can enjoy all of that. So, Jack is, as I mentioned, a listener of ours and has also been a guest on our show. We're only using his first name because we are respecting his request that he not use his last name. The reason for this is very clearly, Jack, that you're involved in an illegal business, which is a escort service. What people are responding to, and the reason why we wanted to talk to you, is that your wife and your daughter are engaged in this.
I wanted to say one more thing too, Phil, and that is that I want this to be appealed. I want people to know that I'm, you know, on your program willingly. I'm listening to people telling me what they think of me. It's not easy for me, but I wanted the people to know the truth. I used to be a Barack Obama supporter. You know, I'm not a Barack Obama supporter anymore. I can't say that I'm a Republican. I can't say I'm a conservative. I can only say to you that I'm not a Barack Obama supporter anymore because of what my family, he put my family through, that my wife and daughter, I watched them get out of the car.
Well, now you said, and I think you were very right, you can't hang this on Obama. There are men out there right now who are finding it very difficult to make ends meet. They're not doing what you're doing, you know.
No, but they find that they judge me, and why do they judge me? Why do they judge me?
Because what you're doing is illegal, for starters.
It may be illegal, but that's not the point. Is it immoral? Well, yes, I agree, it's immoral. But is it survival? Yes, I agree, it's survival. And that's something Americans don't know anything about. I come from the Netherlands, and I suggest that your listeners look into a history book and see what the Netherlands has had to go through to survive the invasion of the Nazis. The fact that the Netherlands never gave in and never was one of the few countries in Europe that fought all the time against Nazi. So I've learned to survive.
And you weren't even born when the Nazis took over.
I was not born, no. But I, being a Dutchman, it infused into me.
Did your parents live there under Nazi occupation?
My father, no. My father had emigrated my family to England during the war. In fact, my father was himself only a small boy. It was my grandfather who emigrated the family to England during the war.
So there's no one in your family going at least as far back as your grandfather knows anything about the Nazis occupying the country.
But that's got nothing to do. I'm telling you, I'm from the Netherlands. I'm not an American. By definition alone, I know more about survival than Americans.
Why?
Why what?
Why would you, by definition alone, being from the Netherlands, know more about survival than an American?
Because I come from Europe. And Europe, Mr. Hendry, at one time was a graveyard. A graveyard. And the two world wars turned Europe into a massive graveyard. And now if I have to send my wife and my daughter out on the streets, it sickens me. I thought I left that behind in Europe.
You thought you left what behind in Europe? You said you came to Europe when you were 20.
I did come to Europe when I was... I came to America when I was... You said Europe.
I meant you came to America when you were 20.
Yes, I did, sir.
What did you leave behind?
Looking at men turning their wives out.
All right, well, you know what? I think you're a very smart guy, Jack, and you are a very smart guy in more ways than one. I think you're dancing around something here. I think you're trying to excuse your behavior by saying that Obama has betrayed you. You used to be a supporter. You aren't anymore. You now have to start a sex trade business with your wife and your daughter working in it, and you're making a lot of money. You bought a catamaran. You kept up your membership in a golf club. Right.
No, you know, you say that like that's some kind of a mortal sin, Phil. I don't think you know what it's like to come from deprivation, the kind that I come from. I don't think you know what it's kind of...
You said that you were not in the Netherlands when the Nazis occupied, nor was your father, nor was your grandfather. Okay.
But as a European, it is part of my... It's part in my blood. It's in my blood. It's in my blood.
All right, 877-877-876-PHIL. We have had Shannon hanging on through the break, and we're very grateful that she's with us. Shannon, go ahead and continue with your thoughts.
Well, it's just delusional that he's calling it survival. Survival is when you're hungry and fighting for food. It isn't buying a luxury boat. It isn't buying luxury golf membership and supporting a luxury home.
I agree.
You know, I have gone without eating so my kids could eat before. All right? I know what survival is.
What do you mean by that?
I have given up meals so my children could eat. I have struggled and I have been poor.
Well,
I think I know a little bit more about survival than you do.
Okay, but can I ask you, are you sure you weren't on a diet and that's what you told yourself? Oh, well, I'm going to give this up. You know what I mean? I know it sounds funny, but just keep talking, Jack,
because you know what? Every little bit more that you talk, a little bit more comes out. You call your wife nasty names. You yank your wife and your daughter's hair.
That's right. You
slap them around.
That's exactly right.
Just keep talking, Jack, because you're digging yourself in deeper and deeper.
Ma'am, I'm not getting myself in deeper. You said you gave up a meal. A meal?
I have given
two
up meals,
meals three
before.
Meals?
Feed my wife and to feed my children.
Your wife.
Where was your husband then?
Where was your husband?
I was divorced, supporting two children on my own.
There you go, right there. So you
and
have a man.
What is
who
your
is not
point
helping.
There?
My point is this: your man left. I'm staying for my family. I'm staying.
You're staying for your family, but your wife and your daughter.
My wife and daughter work in a business that our family owns.
Your wife and daughter work in a business that you manage. I understand that. But you say you're better than the man that left this woman.
Would this woman disagree with this lady?
Shannon.
Shannon, what would you disagree with me?
Very much so, Jack.
Wait a minute.
Very much so.
You're telling me that I'm a worse man.
You are blaming America and Obama.
I want to know your... I'm a worse man than the man that took off on you and your babies. You're telling me that?
He never beat me and turned me out on the streets to turn tricks. Yeah, you were worse.
Wow. What an act of self-delusional. You know.
How is she self-delusional?
She has been told by the American, press in this, that a man who leaves a family is the worst. So we think. Now she meets a man.
You said it was the worst.
No, you said that. You said that's the worst, yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You said that he's worse than you. He left. At least you hung around.
I know. I hung around to turn my wife and daughter into whores. That's what you want to say, isn't it? Why don't you go ahead and say
exactly.
It?
Exactly.
Does it matter?
They would be better off if you walked out the door, Jack, and they could get off the streets. They could work a regular job. They may not live in a luxury home, but at least they wouldn't have to turn strict, risk their lives. They are risking their lives to disease and danger right now. Every single time you send them out there.
That's right.
Well, no, wait a minute. My daughter uses, you love to twist it, Mr. Henry. My daughter uses the catamaran. She uses the...
Does she use your golf membership?
Are you worried that they will catch AIDS? Are you worried that they might get killed by one of their tricks?
Catch AIDS on what, on my catamaran?
No! By having sex with these men.
No, I don't worry about this because of the condom. And I don't want to talk about this because you're talking now about... I don't want to think of my daughter that way, if you don't mind.
I'm talking about the risk of their lives,
I don't like to speak of
it. You can have a luxury boat
and don't want to think of that.
House.
I understand. I understand. I understand. I appreciate. But I don't want to think of my daughter in that way. And I think you discussing it like this shows that
reality,
you have some ghoulish...
You need to think of reality, what this does to them.
What is it going on? I mean, you don't want to talk about it.
This woman ghoulishly loves to speak of... I don't want to...
Why don't you think about it? Because this is at the crux of what people are talking about here tonight. Thank you very much for your call, Shannon. 877-876-PHIL.
What is it the crux of what the people are saying?
At the crux.
What is it the crux? That Jack turned out his daughter, that I turned out to my wife? That now we can pay for our home, that now we can pay for just the basics. All I wanted to do is to put food on the table.
Put food on the table, golf membership.
That was, let me explain about the golf. Those business connections are once in a lifetime. I can go my whole business life, the men listening to your broadcast tonight, they can go their whole life and they never make the kind of sweet business deal you can make at this golf club. And I'm not going to say where because I know what is happening. I know that there's people that want to call up the golf club and say, you got a pimp. You know, no way am I going to tell people. And, you talk about me, Mr. Henry. I'm looking at a movie right now of the Iraqi army, and they make them march as if they've got open sores in their crotches. I find that's what America has done.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking? I said I'm looking at a special on the military channel where they make the Iraqi army march as if they've got open sores between their testicles.
All right, okay. I heard that, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with what we're talking about.
No, it does. Yes, it does. That's the American government made them do that. And you're talking to me about turning my wife and daughter out.
Got nothing to do with turning your wife and daughter out. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL with Jack Armstrong on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. So to survive, you started a sex trade business with your wife and your daughter, and they have been working now for almost a year, and you've been able to save your house, and you've been able to buy a catamaran.
You concentrate on all of that, don't you? You like to concentrate on all of that.
Well, buying a catamaran and a golf club membership...
Well, what of... My son's grades are getting better. Now he is able to concentrate on his schoolwork and not worry about whether he's going to have a home to live. We got him the Netflix and the Xbox, and this is something that people will say no, but I say I'm glad that he's able to have that and to not have to worry, you know, about a wife, about his sister. And we're taking his sister off the line pretty soon because of her not... she's ill, and I told you that. And
what is she ill from?
I told you already that we think maybe it's some kind of perhaps hepatitis. And this is your way of saying, oh, see?
Yeah, that's my way of saying, see, your own daughter's got hepatitis now, working in your sex business?
But I didn't start this recession, but I'm going to survive it. And my daughter, I asked them at the beginning, what do you think of this? And they're like, whatever. Okay, so what do you expect is going to happen?
No, your daughter didn't say whatever. You said your son said that.
My son said that, yes. But I said to my daughter and my wife, what do you think of work in this business? And they said, you know, I mean, they shrugged their shoulders. And so you can't say it's a bad decision if it...
And your daughter's got hepatitis now.
Well, you know what? And you're losing your hair, Mr. Henry. And
I'm losing my hair. Male pattern baldness is not fatal. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Stacy in Mobile, Alabama. Go ahead, Stacy.
Hey, Jack. My name is Stacy, and
I
actually lived in the Netherlands, okay? So I would like for you to stop. I would like for you to stop representing the Netherlands in such a way, and you do not sound like you're from the Netherlands. You sound like
no,
you're from...
No, excuse me. I know the Netherlands. The Netherlands were attacked by the Nazis. You know this, if you know your history. Were they not?
I'm sorry.
Yes,
Jack,
they were.
Stop throwing a pity party for yourself, first of all, and second of all...
Wait a minute. Don't tell me I don't know about the Netherlands when the Germans came in and did what they did.
All right, let's let the lady talk.
Why is being a prostitute? What does that have
because
to do with your wife?
Mr. Henry was telling me about how bad Americans have it. Americans don't even know how bad things can be unless a Nazi came to them.
I need you to stop throwing a pity party and stop putting Amsterdam's name in it because you don't even have a Dutch accent. That's first of all. You're Turkish or you're
listen
Moroccan.
To the Dutch. Listen to the expert on the Dutch. Listen. Are you kidding me?
Do you think I'm your prostitute wife? You better calm yourself down and listen to what I have to say, okay? You need to stop representing the Dutch like that.
I know that black women are used to telling their men to shut up, but you can't...
Oh, will you just shut up, Jack?
Thank you.
Go ahead, Stacey.
Okay, and then for the other caller, we do not treat our women like cattle in Amsterdam. However, if you look in other countries such as Morocco and Turkey and... Israel, they do treat their women like cattle. That is why I think that he's not from Amsterdam, first of all. He may have lived there, and he may know a little bit about it because he decided to Google something about it, but he's not from Amsterdam. You go out there and sleep with other women.
Wait a minute.
Aren't you allowed
American?
To have seven? Aren't you allowed
aren't
to
you
have
American?
Seven of them?
Aren't you American?
No, I was born in the Netherlands, but now I am American, yes.
Well, then don't do this wee. What, you got a rocket in your pocket? You're American. That's for
okay,
all.
Aunt. But I know Amsterdam. Okay. I've only lived in America for 7 years now. So don't come and represent Amsterdam as some kind of whore place where we pimp our women out like that, okay? Because you do that. That's
are
your
you kidding
choice.
Me or something? All you have to
are
do is go to Amsterdam
me?
And look at and see the women for sale in the windows like they're selling a sofa. Except it's
yes,
a woman.
Just like your woman is for sale now. And your daughter.
That's a good point. That's a great point, Stacy.
No, that's not a good point.
That's a very good point. You're talking about the women that are for sale over there.
My wife and my daughter are entrepreneurs in a business that they are partners in, and I give them, they get paid good. And
they get paid good when you're pulling their hair and pushing them into the limo. Do you pay them a salary?
I pay them, they get their hourly rate.
They get their hourly rate. Let me ask you something, man. Are you sure you're related to your wife and daughter, or are they just two people you consider to be...
What is that supposed to mean, sir?
Well, because I don't hear you talking about your wife and daughter any better than you would talk about the average prostitute that might work for you.
I told you that my daughter, we're taking my daughter. She's got hepatitis.
And
we're taking,
that's your
we're
fault.
We're taking her off the line. We're taking her off the line.
Taking her off the line.
That's right. And let me ask you something. This lady's bothering me. You sound like an African American, but you were born 7 years ago in what? In Amsterdam.
Yes, because I'm,
I don't get
okay,
it.
Because I'm very educated and I know how to speak the language appropriately, and you don't. That's why
Wait.
I sound like an African American to you, because
no,
I'm learned
no.
how
you
to speak,
like you were born in America.
No, accent.
You sound like you were born in America, not in Amsterdam. Is the
no,
point I'm
I was
to
not
make.
Born in. I was born in Amsterdam. Okay. So let's cut that conversation out right
what
now.
Is that about?
Okay?
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I chose to go to school and further my education and become something in life, in society, okay? I didn't choose to pimp out my family, okay? And I didn't choose to become a prostitute, Mr. Jack.
Well, you didn't
now quit
have a choice,
saying that you're
you,
some, excuse me. Now quit saying that you're from Amsterdam.
If you had a choice,
Amsterdam.
You would have.
I'm sorry?
I'm saying if you had a choice, maybe you would have, but you didn't have a
I
choice.
I do have
you?
A choice. I do have a choice,
you
and I don't.
You pimp out your own family? You pimp your
I'm
family?
Sorry? No, you
pimp out your
that.
Family?
No, you
no,
do that.
You did not have the choice.
All right, this is a ridiculous conversation. It's obvious that this lady would never choose that road in life, and you have.
That young lady would not doesn't know what road in life she will choose because she wasn't in the Netherlands when the Nazis attacked.
Neither were you. Neither were you. Stacy, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the Netherlands when the Nazis attacked.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, what about it?
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we're back here with Jack, and I am talking to Jack here about the business that he started, which is an illegal business, a sex trade business. His wife and daughter are in that business. His daughter has come down with hepatitis. You admit to having pulled the hair of your wife and having slapped her. You admit it's an illegal business. And yet you are here on my program talking about this as a survival technique because of Barack Obama.
Well, let me say, Phil, I heard you say in your... I heard you say in the... Before I was talking on your program with you tonight Barack Obama's mortgage program is a scam, and I agreed with you on that.
Yeah, well, it sounded to me like you kind of took that argument and ran with it. Like, in other words, you didn't have any real good reason to start a business whereby you use your wife and daughter as sexual merchandise.
No, I told you that you know that I was on your program tonight to talk about the what Obama's done to my family.
And Obama didn't give your daughter hepatitis, man.
Obama, no, but you know something? I'm listening to the people who have called this program tonight to talk to me. I've never been spoken to in the way a lot of these have talked to me. This lady from the so-called from the Netherlands who said that I didn't know about the Netherlands. Oh, really? She can't deny that they sell sex on the streets. Okay, that's number one.
In our country, it's illegal.
And that's number two is you tell me about America as if Americans know what the suffer is.
Well, you know what? There are a lot of Americans that are suffering a lot worse than you right now.
Excuse me, I'm not finished yet. A lot of Americans suffer worse than me. I don't think so.
Wait a minute. You come on this program telling me that you got your house, you saved a mortgage, you got a golf membership, you got a catamaran, your son's got Netflix, he's got Xbox, right?
You didn't have those things until... Let me give you the cold, hard reality. My son didn't have that stuff till I turned out his sister. Okay, there. You happy?
Well, you finally got it said, didn't you?
Now, are you happy, Mr. Hendry?
You finally got it said.
No, that's what you wanted me to say.
You said it. My son didn't have those things till I turned out his sister.
And you spit it out and you look for the drama.
No, man, you've created enough drama on this show. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Greg in Petaluma, California. Go ahead, Greg, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, first of all, this golf membership, if these leads and such were turning out to be so fruitful and lucrative, you wouldn't have had to put your kid and your wife out on the street. What could you possibly have at this golf club that you're so over the top about? How could these things possibly be making you this money if you're willing to do this to your family?
But no, you misunderstand.
No, that's a really good comment. That's a really good statement. No, I want to hear the answer to this. That's a very good point that you're making, Greg. Go ahead, answer that one.
I've got an answer for it, Mr. Henry. And I don't need, you like to back up these callers.
No, go ahead. It's a very good question. All these business connections that you get at the golf club, what happened? Why don't you use them so that your wife and your daughter aren't out on the streets? Or your wife now, your daughter's sick with hepatitis.
Okay.
Spit it out, Jack.
You're not going to like the answer, but I'll give it to you. A lot of these guys at the golf club, I meet their customers.
Wow.
You said you didn't want to let your last name out because you didn't want these people at the golf club to know that you were doing this. And now you're saying that most of these people are your best customers? Are you kidding?
You see, I can't give a good answer for winning. You asked me the question, I give you the answer.
That's right, you gave us the answer, the answer's disgusting. It doesn't mean because you're honest the answer's going to be any groovier, man. Your answer is vile, just like your business is, okay?
You said he asked a good question.
He did. He asked the perfect question, in fact, because what it did was, not only did we find out, the truth about that golf membership, now we know who your customers are. People from that golf, friends of yours, are having sex with your daughter.
No, my daughter, you know something? I came on this program, this might be interesting to your listener, Greg. I came on this program because I thought you were doing for entrepreneurs.
And
I thought you were doing a program about entrepreneurs.
Okay, let's say that I was.
But you're not, are you?
No, let's say that I was. Let's say that this was a show about entrepreneurs. You just came on and told me about your business. I'm telling you it's illegal. I'm telling you it's disgusting. It's immoral.
I'm telling you that I'm making a lot of money. I'm telling you. And yet all you can do is keep throwing back in my face. What's that?
You're considering yourself a good American, correct?
I think I'm a good... I would like to be a good American, but Barack Obama doesn't want me to be a good American. He wants me to hate America.
The bottom line is this, is that in America, a man's obligation and responsibility is to make sure that his family and his children are provided for at whatever sacrifice you need to make. And I'm a union
That's
engineer.
Right.
I'm a
That's
union
right.
engineer, and I make really good money. I've been laid off for 6 months, and during those 6 months, I've been digging ditches and chopping firewood and doing whatever I had to. And my children eat, and they get school clothing. And they get everything that they need.
I'm taking care of my family, too. It just so happens that they're also working.
And you're taking care of your family. Your daughter's got hepatitis.
I told you that, and now you just keep saying it over and over. I don't think it's fair.
You're putting your child and your wife in harm's way. Hepatitis is forever, Jack, and a catamaran ain't.
I will go back to what I said. I thought this program was about...
You're coming on my show to tell my listeners, hey, listen to my great entrepreneurial idea. I started an escort service using my wife and daughter, and look at the money I've made and how I've saved my home and how I have a golf club membership, and what else is good about it?
You know what? F you.
F me, huh?
That's right. You heard me. F, and I wish I could say the whole word. And I learned a lot of good words when I come to America.
Let me just finish here. F me. That's really adult.
What you're saying twists every fact that I've given you.
No, it doesn't at all, man. Doesn't at all. Greg, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. You come on here. You're talking about your entrepreneurial business, the great success you've had. You got a sex business. You got your son's got Netflix. Your son's got an Xbox. You got a catamaran. You got a golf membership. What else?
And my daughter, the one that you feel so bad for, my daughter got a brand new Corvette. A brand new Corvette. The one you feel so bad for.
Well, isn't that great? What color? I hope it's yellow. It'll match your skin.
There, you happy?
Oh, grow up, man.
No, no, no. I grow up. There, you happy? I hope you get her yellow. It'll match your skin. Is that because of the hepatitis, right?
Grow up.
No, here. Oh, the funny man. The funny, funny man. You're so funny. That's so funny I forgot to laugh.
Boy, man, you are...
Don't know what, am I embarrassing because I'm some retard foreigner? Is that it? That I'm some insular foreigner and I don't quite get it about how everything gets done in America? Is that what you say? And there's a lot of foreign people listening now, and boy, do you look like an ass.
Yeah, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jimmy on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, I just want to get straight to the point for the family issue.
Unbelievable, yeah, the way I've been treated.
I just want to
go ahead, Jimmy.
Just straight to the point about this family issue, you know, because me and my wife have been going through those things, you know, and we've not ever been really rich, and you know, things don't really matter when it comes to your family because it's just to the point he's willing to take the risk to put his family on the line like this, you know, Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, my wife has come to, we joked around before about things, you know, like, well, what, I ought to just do this or do that to do anything, prostitute or anything. I said, no, we'd never do that. We'd never betray ourselves like that or our family or, and, you know, we made that decision to never do that like that. If we had to just be living homeless together, you know, and we're not rich or nothing right now, but.
But she brought it up, didn't she? She brought it up, didn't she? She put it into the mix. Right. She put it into the mix, is what I'm saying. She put it into the mix.
Thoughts would come to her mind, you know, but she would come to her senses, and she would think how much more value to her family that there is.
They were talking about they were talking about how difficult things could be and how difficult things, but I would never do this and I would never do that.
No, 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 no. That's not what I heard this gentleman say. He said they threw the idea of a sex for trade into the mix so they could revisit it later.
No, they did not. That's not what I'm hearing. If I'm putting words in your mouth, Jimmy, tell me. I heard you say that your wife said these are the things she wouldn't do, no matter how poor you got.
Right. No matter how bad we would get, we would never do this. Even though she's had those thoughts, we were not going to do that, and we would just have family and not things. That would be more important.
Mr. Hendry gave you the thing to say, so now you see you got out of it.
You've been interrupting this. You've been interrupting this man a lot. He's trying to get something said.
What he got said was what you gave him to say.
When it comes down to it, things will not matter. It will be matter what if, you know, your family is there, and it becomes a cycle. Your wife and your daughter may end up leaving you over this, and you'll pay the price for it later, and you'll be miserable for it. And, you know, and it's worth holding on to your family what, you know, that God has blessed you with, and it's worth doing the right thing and walking with your family.
All right, thank you very much, Jimmy. Very well said, sir. Got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL.
I want to make a point here, Phil.
Go ahead.
This last gentleman, I bet you he spells tricycle. You know tricycle?
Yeah.
TRIPSYCO. Tricycle. You know what I mean? Because of...
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here. Final segment with Jack. And the sex trade business that he started using his wife and daughter that saved their home, it saved his daughter's education, but it has essentially ruined his family, and his daughter's got hepatitis. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Keep going back to that hepatitis. Is that what you want, hepatitis?
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What they told me, too.
All right, we're back on the air. If I said your last name, we don't have to mention it, okay?
One of the people I know was listening to this, and they said you gave my last name. If you're on the air right now, I want you to admit to the people that you did that.
I did. I inadvertently used your last name. I haven't had anybody call. I haven't had anybody make a comment.
But you did do that, you know, and that is actionable. It's actionable.
All right, if you're threatening to sue me, then I would suggest you get off the line now and go about the business of suing me.
There's time.
No, there is not time. No, no. If you stay on the air with me after you've been informed that the prerequisites, the contract, if you will, verbal though it may be, of your being on my show was violated, then you need to get off of it right now. If you stay on, then that means you're giving your tacit approval of this broadcast, your appearance on it, and what's been on the air.
Oh, boy, are you a lawyer or something?
No, I'm not a lawyer, but I know enough about slander and libel law. If you're staying on the air with me, that means you're giving your approval.
I want to say something. This is worth it to me to stay on your program. My daughter, when she's well, she's going to drive in her Corvette. You can make your jokes. But I heard tonight on your broadcast, because you do this video feed, and you use the four-letter words more than any man I've ever heard in front of women, you know?
And what women? You mean the women in my audience?
The women who might be looking at your video cast, yeah. And you say that I've got no business being in this kind of business that I'm in, and the dirty potty mouth on you? I don't think so, friend. I think you've got a lot more to apologize for than me.
I don't think so either, man. Using four-letter words, I'm not crippling anyone's life or humanity that way, and they can certainly turn it off. Here is Sonia in Las Vegas. Sonia, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jack Armstrong.
Yeah, I just have a comment to make about this idiot that has put his wife and daughter out there as an escort service, really? I mean, what is wrong with you? I mean, I'm shocked.
Ma'am, this is an economy.
Your daughter,
that's the worst economy.
You have no...
It's the worst economy.
Sure, at the expense of your daughter's life? She has hepatitis.
I'm not forcing
Seriously?
Her out there. I'm not forcing her out there. And
is she working now?
She has hepatitis now. But when she gets...
What kind of example are you providing for your wife, your family?
What kind of a husband
and a father are you? That is terrible.
You laughed at my daughter having hepatitis. So what kind of example are you?
Laughing at your daughter having hepatitis? No, I'm afraid
yes,
not,
you
sir.
Excuse me, I just heard you going, ha, 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 ha.
About my daughter having hepatitis.
I
don't even know what you're talking about.
Excuse me.
Really?
Are you telling me I didn't hear? Are you saying I did not hear you laughing? I heard
yes.
you laughing.
She's laughing at you.
No, she wasn't laughing at me. She laughed at my. I said my daughter has hepatitis,
no.
And she goes, "Your daughter has hepatitis."
No.
That's what you did.
I'm laughing at you because I would not laugh at your daughter having a hepatitis. Really?
My daughter
I
has
mean,
herping, huh?
That's really sad that she has that, and you're putting her out there to work like that. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I bought
really,
my daughter a Corvette.
You're not
a Corvette.
Who cares? Those are material
things.
Wait a minute. Is your daughter okay with you buying her a Corvette now? Everything's cool?
I don't know. I bought it for her as a way of saying thank you.
As a way of saying thank you, I'm giving you hepatitis. You're my escort now. Really? Oh, that's intelligent. That's intelligent. That's real great on your part. Congratulations, Daddy.
Who's got more money? You or me?
You know what?
It doesn't matter to people that don't have money. It doesn't matter to people that don't have money.
That is
it
materialistic.
Matters to people that do have money.
Obviously, you're all about the money, and you don't care about your family's life. That's pretty obvious. You're all about the money.
How much money would you take, and you would say, Phil, I have more money. Sonia,
I'm
going to ask you a question. How much money would it take for me to turn you out?
I would never go out and do that.
Really, I would never go out and do that.
$10,000 a job. $50,000
no.
a job. $100,000 a job.
No.
$500,000? You're lying. Now you're lying.
Yeah.
Now you're
you know
lying.
What?
Now
Seriously?
You're lying. Now you're lying. See,
you
now
don't
she's
even
lying.
Have $500,000.
No, wait a minute. You can't do that.
Yes, I can. I can. See, listen to what she said. You don't have $500,000. If I did have $500,000.
And if you
can't. Look, you're going to have to take her answer. If she says no, she means no.
She he knows that if I had $500,000 a job, she'd take the job. That's when she said, what?
That's what you're saying. You're saying I said that? No. I wouldn't take your money.
Because that's when you said you don't have that kind of money. That's when you were wondering if I had that kind of money. Because if I did,
even if you did, I wouldn't take it. Even if you did,
a million a job. $1 million a job. $1 million a job.
Oh, please.
Oh, what a
lie.
God, are you lying?
Wait a minute.
No, she's lying and she knows she lied.
Oh, okay, right. You know I am, huh?
You're going to turn down $1 million a job. Okay. You're going to turn that down.
You cannot ask people that question. A hypothetical like that is asinine. It's like asking me, okay, it's like asking you, Jack. Hey, Jack, how much money would it take for you to have gay sex?
No, that's not the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing. $1 million?
You know what? Why don't you screw up?
No, $1 million, Jack? Come on, $1 million?
Not the same thing at all, because women are different. And I'm not saying that women are doing it because they're immoral, but they don't care.
$1 million, Jack? Would you have gay sex with a guy, huh? How about $2 million?
You're worse than this lady.
Really?
Lied.
Really?
Mr. Hendry's worse.
Please.
What?
You're worse than my life.
$3 million to have gay sex. $3 million?
$3 million, I'll say what the lady said. You don't have that much money.
But if I did, if I had that much money, you would, wouldn't you?
All right, you want to see how much better I am than this woman? I'm going to show you. Yes, I would. That shows you how much better than her I am, because I tell the truth. I'm telling the truth.
You're sick.
I'm sick? I'm $3 million richer than you.
So you'll take $3 million to have gay sex with, let's say, if Max Baer were still alive.
Who? You can laugh all you want, but that proves I'm a better person than Sonia, because I said I would have sex.
Oh, please. No,
lady,
it makes you a real loser is what it makes you. I'm sorry. It makes you disgusting. Really. It really does.
Well, ma'am, I didn't laugh at you when you told me your child was sick with polio or whatever it had. You laughed at my child.
You
laughed
at your
my kid. Child.
You pimped
you
at
laughed
your kid
at my
and
child
you pimped
being
out
sick.
Your wife. I didn't laugh at your
this
kid.
This woman didn't say she had that her kid had polio.
Well, that her kid's got to have something wrong with it. Whatever your kid's got wrong with it, ha, 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 ha. There, now we're even.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
The electronic age is on us, isn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
Lindsay Lohan was released from custody.
Your message today to the developers behind this:
stop it.
So after the tour, you're hitting the studio, new album. What, any future projects?
People are bad, and the rest of us will be cannibals.
That's just stuck on stupid.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And we'll head toward that truth. Try to get a couple of laughs along the way. No matter what it takes, through the looking glass and beyond. 877-876-PHIL. Michael Moore opens his fat yap about Afghanistan and the WikiLeaks. Haven't heard from Michael in a long time. So we will hear what he has to weigh in on, if you'll pardon the expression. Arkansas bans smoking in public on public college campuses. No more smoking on college campuses. Plus, Bud's nightly news tonight. Bud, you ready for that?
Yeah, I got some pretty good stories to read.
Good. 877-876-PHIL. PhilHendryShow.com.
Man, I can't. I always love to hear the Bud news, you know.
Why? Because you learn.
Yeah, I learn, man. I learn nothing, man. Listen to you talking like a tard. A tard and a half.
See, he gets to say tard.
Don't say tard, okay?
Adding retard.
I know, but just don't say it. Our website, philhenryshow.com, by the way. And we have the results of our polling this evening. We asked the question, do you think that Bleep My Dad Says will be a success? Do you think it will be a hit on TV? Bleep My Dad Says, starring William Shatner, and the results are 54% said yes, and 46% said no. That was from the Phil Hendry Show website. Now, that sounds a bit like it split down the middle almost, right? I think people like it because it's a Twitter thing, it's an internet thing, and it, people tended to believe that it would be a hit. And we were talking before the show, during our pre-feed, that it sounds a bit like maybe Titus, because this is a show that's going to have a second or a third act. You know what I mean?
Well, you're talking about how if they do the show, what's the other episode about?
The other episode, man? Let's try, like, you know, 12 episodes.
Yeah, they got to come up with, like, 12 ideas.
Well, the guy, have you ever seen a guy's stuff my dad says is more than 12?
No, but see, here's the thing. You remember Jeff Foxworthy?
Barely.
Jeff Foxworthy was a huge hit in the early 90s with his You Might Be a Redneck If. You Might Be a Redneck If. You Might Be a Redneck If, right? And they gave him a show based on that.
What?
On that joke. You may be a redneck if you dot, dot, dot.
If you what?
I don't know, man. I don't remember any of them. But that was Jeff Foxworthy's thing. And he's a very funny guy, but I don't know how you base a show on a series of jokes. And that was in the early 90s, and they were very funny jokes. And it was back when there was kind of a resurgence of the redneck thing. I think it was the early 90s, yeah, because Brett Butler, remember Grace Under Fire, that show?
No.
I must be, how old are you guys? You guys don't remember that show?
I don't remember that, no.
I remember Moesha.
Moesha. Well, anyway, the shows in the 90s, like Grace Under Fire, there was some hillbilly stuff happening back then. Achy, Breaky Heart, all that jazz.
No, I don't remember that at all.
Okay, you ever heard of Hannah Montana? Or what's her name, Miley Cyrus?
Yeah.
That's her dad.
What is?
Never mind. So, I ain't going to go into it now. Jeff Foxworthy's show lasted 2 seasons, 95 through 97. Thank you very much, Jason. Well, that's 3 seasons. 95 through 97 is 95, 96, 90. That's 3 seasons. So was it two, like 95, 96, something like that? Anyway, and that was based on the joke. So that's what I'm thinking about this show, Stuff My Dad Says, Bleep My Dad Says, that it's a one-joke thing. So it has that going against it. Then the other thing that it has kind of going for it, in a way, If William Shatner can pull it off the way Stacey Keach did, was the Titus show.
That show was great. I love that show 1,000,000%.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. That dad was funny. That Stacey Keach?
Yes, that was Stacey Keach. And he was a riot, man. And he was a big part of that show. But the downside to Titus was that it only lasted maybe 3-4 years, I think. See? So I know that I'm probably, thinking too hard about this, man, but I don't know. Stuff My Dad Says may just be a title and may have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the Twitter account. It may be just about this curmudgeonly dad who's really got funny stuff to say, but you got to have the guy that started the Justin character.
Yeah, the guy that started Justin, that guy's going to be the biggest star. I bet you he didn't even know about it when he first thought about it.
About what?
About what, man? About when he did a Twitter account?
Yeah, when he started Stuff My Dad Says.
Oh, man, that guy's probably a professional writer.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, that guy probably worked in Hollywood. He probably worked in Hollywood all that time and started a Twitter,
Twitter, man. God, what's so hard about that?
Yeah, not really.
Twitter account for something to do during a writer's strike.
Well, that's possible. That's possible during the writer's strike. Maybe he did start a Twitter account. I don't know. But here's the thing. It's going to have to be about something other than a series of one-liners coming from the dad. So the dad will be pivotal. But then it'll, like every other show that's successful, it's got to spread out like the son, the Justin character. I'm sure there's going to be a girlfriend or a wife for him. There's bound to be a mother. Maybe, I don't know. Is there a mother figure in this Stuff My Dad Says? You know,
yeah, they're probably going to have some friends and everything, or that it got to be interesting and everything to make it interesting.
Yeah, that's how they got to do it.
That's great. Why don't I have you guys go over there and explain the whole thing?
Yeah, you know, man, that they ought to hire my ass. I go over and tell them how to do it.
What makes you? Yeah, right. You're not even a white man. And
what that got to do with it?
All right, I don't want to have this argument every night. What do you mean you're not even a white man?
I'm just saying that you got to be regular. I mean, black people are regular and everything, but they're not like the norm or nothing like that.
Hey, man, if black people ain't the norm or nothing like that, how come we good enough to be on every football team, basketball team?
Well, everybody expects that.
I'm not having you guys have this argument. You understand?
You're just ignorant, man. That's all. Just ignorant.
He's right.
Why?
He's right. You are stupid. You know, and you do it on purpose. I know you do it to piss him off.
Why am I stupid?
Black people aren't even normal. They need a white man. All right. Parents, the Parent Television Council, in the meantime, with all of this other bullcrap that's going on, something called the Parent Television Council, it's been around since 1995. They claim a membership of 1.5 million. And they have a problem with the name of this show. Now, understand that the people that are producing the show have taken the liberty, have taken the I think, intelligent step to remove the actual first word that appears in the phrase, bleep, my dad says, and they've replaced it with bleep. Why did they do that? So that they don't run afoul of FCC guidelines, of which there are none. This thing about FCC guidelines, by the way, there are no FCC guidelines. There's no printed FCC guidelines. None. Every time the FCC is challenged in court, they just cite precedent, precedent, precedent. They haven't written anything down. And the reason why they haven't written anything down is if they write something down, the minute they write something down, the minute the FCC attempts to put any kind of a regulation into writing and puts it into their little rule book, whatever that may be, their time on this planet as a fully constituted agency of the federal government has a finite point, meaning they'll be sued and they will be disassembled in front of everybody's eyes, the horror of it, after it goes to the Supreme Court. So they don't really have any written indecency stuff. What they do, though, is they take all these letters from indignant people, etc. Now, the Parent Television Council claims to have 1.5 million people. That's significant. They've been around since 1995. That's significant. However, and I say the however because this is a big thing. They are a highly partisan group. Why? They were, among their founding members was Brent Bozell. Nothing wrong with being a conservative. Understand, folks, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you come at someone as an organization and you are identified very clearly as a certain kind of political ideology, it starts to wear very thin with the press, with the public, with the courts, and ultimately with just about everybody. All popular opinion will begin to turn against you because you look like you've got some kind of an agenda. If you were an organization that had both progressive and conservative members, if you had Democrat and Republican members, if you had white and black members, if you had, you know, if you look like a truly universally Catholic, and I say that in the actual sense of universal, you were constituted by all kinds of different people. People say, well, these are really parents. These are actual parents who care about kids. These are parents that care about kids. But when it's the Parent Television Council and I got Brent Bozell standing there,
he looks like he's going to be he's going to be working on behalf of Pat Colder.
Yeah.
Pat Colder.
Yeah.
That woman.
Ann Colder.
Who's Pat Colder?
There's no Pat Colder that I know of. You may be thinking about Pat Buchanan.
No.
Oh, man, what about Pat something?
Pat Buchanan. Parent Television Council warns CBS advertisers. And, of course, what they're saying is, if you advertise on this show, we have 1.5 million members who will boycott your products. That's a very, very potent threat. It's taken very seriously by broadcasters. It takes a very courageous broadcast. It takes an actual very courageous advertiser to understand that if you're going to advertise in the world of national broadcast media, whether it's radio or TV, you're going to be subject to this kind of thing all the time. If you want to get involved in television or radio as an advertiser, it is a controversial area of communication and entertainment. You need to be prepared for these things. Don't come into the area of advertising and television and radio, and when someone says, oh, you're advertising on the Charlie Buchanan show? Well, he stinks. We're going to boycott you. Don't act surprised. Don't say, oh, my God, we had no idea. Because this is the world. One of the things that many advertisers need to educate themselves on is because one person bitches about a show doesn't mean that there's an entire group of people against it. So at some point, in other words, if you are advertising in television or radio, you have to show a little courage, you see.
Yeah, but then they're going to say you're making fun of them.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
Did I say Phil Henry was on the radio saying they ain't got a pair on them?
Yeah, they need to grow a pair.
No, I did not say that. I'm saying simply be aware, be forewarned. That's the Boy Scouts marching song.
No, it's be prepared.
It's be prepared, the Boy Scouts marching song. All right, we'll be back with more of that bull crap. God, man. 877-876-PHIL. Can a person legally ban their Muslim employees from wearing their religious headscarves? You know, you haven't asked that question? You don't care? You don't really want to have to deal with it? Well, we'll deal with it. A court weighs in. 877-876-PHIL. Bud's Nightly News, still to come here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And our website is philhendryshow.com, and today began our podcasts on iTunes. If you have an iPod, an iPhone, then you have our iTunes podcast, not only of our current show, but also a three times a week podcast of classic Phil Hendry. We call it the Phil Hendry Classic. And this week, at least the beginning classic we're featuring is Plane Go Boom. So if you want to know how Plane Go Boom got made, and if you don't know what Plane Go Boom is, brother, you are, man, you got to get with it.
People got to get up to speed on a lot of the stuff that we got.
They do. You got to go over to the website and get a backstage pass and take a look at the archives that we have. We're always making our archive material downloadable. We are adding more stuff to the archives every day. I mean, at breakneck speed, man. And when I say archives, we're going back years and years and years and years of Phil Hendry Show Radio. So get over to philhendryshow.com. Now, before we go anywhere else and do anything else, we should hear William Shatner explaining how Twitter inspired this sitcom, because we were talking about Crap My Dad Says or Bleep My Dad Says, and we were discussing how the Parent Council, Parent Television Council, is complaining. They don't like the bleep. Now, understand that the CBS said bleep because they didn't want to use the S word, because that's what the Twitter account is called. S, My Dad Says. But they didn't want to do that, so they decided to use bleep. Well, guess what? The Parent Television Council, that ain't good enough for them. They're urging marketers to not sponsor the show unless they wish to associate their hard-earned brands with, quote, excrement. Now, here's my problem. I agree with parents monitoring television. I agree with parents being concerned with children. What I don't agree with, and what I find despicable personally, is using kids to further a larger political agenda. And that's exactly what this Parent Television Council is about, because they're not using the S word. They're saying bleep. There are far bigger fights to fight in the world of communications and film. There are far more serious and egregious examples of programming and broadcasting than this nonsense. They're not using the excrement word. They're saying bleep. It's quite frankly, the S word is, I put it, within 5 years, it'll probably be okay to say on the air.
Oh, yeah, right. Are you going to say, you're going to say it?
First of all, don't hit the microphone with your hand, man.
Yeah, I saw that, man.
Sorry.
Am I saying what?
Are you going to say the S word? If you do, I'd like to be there the day that happens on account I want to hear it and everything.
Am I going to be the first guy to use it? Probably not, because somebody's already used it.
No, I mean, like, are you going to be the first guy to use it and say, it's legal?
No, of course I won't be the first guy to use it and say it's legal.
Why not?
Because I'll get my show pulled off of about a million radio stations, and everybody will hate me, and they won't understand, and they won't give a crap, and they won't realize how it's not unconstitutional. You know, just I won't, nobody will get my back on it. Forget it.
Oh, what? Are you kidding? If you got a really good reason, excuse me, if you got a really good reason.
Will you quit belching, man? God.
If you got a good reason.
Forget it, man. I ain't going to be the guy. It's going to be somebody else. I ain't saying the S word, and I ain't saying the F word. I'm not going to be Mr., you know, free speech.
Well, man, why won't you do that, man, and stand up for what's right?
When I do it, I'll tell you why. Because I'm not going to be the lightning rod. I'm not going to be the guy. I'm not going to be the cat that goes out front and tells everyone, I'll take the bullet. That's okay. Not me, brother. Forget it. I'll let some other dude do that. I learned my lesson. I'm going to stand here in the back of the crowd. I'll wait to see which way the wind's blowing, and I'll go that way. I ain't going to be jumping out there with the S word anytime soon. So CBS ain't doing it either. So the Parent Television Council, excuse me, has decided to inform its members which advertisers failed to, quote, comply with its request. That's not a request. That's a demand. If the organization's pattern holds, urges them to boycott their products. Anyway, here is William Shatner as he talks about why or how or what. He explains how Twitter inspired this new sitcom. Well, they have an account called As My Dad Says. Thank you, William Shatner.
That's a perfect one.
Wait a minute. Here's William Shatner.
The electronic age is on us, isn't it? And Twitter is a part of it. And young Mr. Halpern starts twittering about things his father says. And millions of people get alerted to this Twitter, and it becomes very popular. And then CBS picks it up as a television show based on these Twitters, these pithy sayings that this father says.
Yes, we know. Here is a sneak peek at Bleep My Dad Says on CBS.
What's with the driver's manual?
Oh, I turn 72 next week. My license expires at midnight. I got to take the whole test again. I don't remember things the way I used to. And if I don't pass the test, I lose my license for 5 years.
Well, look, you know, worst comes to worst, you get a bike. It'll keep you in shape.
A bike? Take a look out there. Does that look like Bangkok?
Okay, you've been involved in a minor traffic collision with a parked vehicle and you're...
What part of town am I in?
I don't know, downtown.
I hate downtown. Smells of motor oil and hummus.
Fine, then you're down the street at the store.
Which store? The one with the slow kid who works in produce?
No, Dad, the other one.
I like the one with the slow kid who knows his vegetables.
That's pretty funny, man. It's pretty funny. It's Becker, it's Titus, it's, you know, it's the curmudgeonly dude, man.
What's Becker?
Yeah, what's Becker?
God, Becker was that one with Ted Danson.
Oh, forget it.
Oh, I see. So just Ted Danson, that automatically sucks? Good God.
Yeah, well, who cares, man? That was Cheers.
No, Jackball. Anyway, Becker was a doctor, and he was a smartass. It's pretty funny. Shit, the slow kid in produce. All right, coming up, Michael Moore compares the WikiLeaks source with the witnesses of Nazi atrocities. In other words, Michael Moore ain't been getting any love, any notice. He ain't been getting much of nothing lately. So he's got to make some headlines. So there you go. We're going to make some headlines with him. By the way, for whatever reason, I gave Parent Television Council a little bit of publicity, too, because I don't think anybody knows who they are, either.
Nobody knows who you are.
Well, that's true, too. So we can help each other. 877-876-PHIL, world famous. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And now it's time for Bud Dickman's Nightly News. Here now from our Bud Dickman News Central, Bud Dickman.
There's a serial killer that I saw about. He's fat. His girlfriend is good-looking. He's fat. And Michael Moore is... Michael Moore said that he thinks the war is about a Nazi, and he thinks there's Nazis all over the place, and he's not going to go over there.
Now more from Bud Dickman.
There's the Pentagon, they said there's a leak somewhere, and it's a WikiLeak.
More Bud Dickman news.
There's the Gulf of Mexico is seeing a blowhole or something, and a dead zone on a Gulf, and a blow, biggest blow ever on a Gulf.
More news now with Bud Dickman.
Maxine Waters broke a House rule on an ethic, and she's a Democrat at California. In Virginia. That's what it was.
Or Bud Dickman News.
There's a Newsweek is gonna, or I mean, the Newsweek magazine got bought by a billionaire.
Or Bud Dickman.
Obama says the U.S. is going to get out of there, of Iraq, on a 31 plus in Iraq. And he said that United States will do it.
More Bud Dickman news.
Our vegetables are smart. Somebody said you can have a vegetable that thinks. I don't know about it, but in Brazil, there's a Indianapolis 500 winner, and he's been punished in Brazil.
More Bud Dickman news.
Well, if you have a low carb diet, you're good, but you're probably good. Helen Thomas is in a White House, and Fox was there too. But then Fox moved up, and then the White House told CNN they got to go to the back of the row.
More Bud Dickman news.
Well, no, that's all.
Okay, Bud, good.
Thank you. I wasn't sure about the Helen Thomas one. What is that?
Helen Thomas is they told her to retire.
On account of she made the crack about a Jew?
Yes, exactly. And so she is now no longer occupying that seat in the front row of the White House press briefings. And so they have told her, or I mean, not her, they told Fox, I guess they could move up. Isn't that what you said?
Well, I don't know.
Well, you said something anyway. 877-876-4. What the hell are you doing, man?
I gotta do it again.
Wait a minute, man.
No, I did it.
Bud, we don't have any time.
Hold on, let him do it again.
Is this you, David?
Yeah, turn that down for a minute. Yeah, let him do it again.
Yeah, because I gotta do it.
Why does he gotta do it again?
He blew it. He blew the story. We gotta get it right.
Are you kidding me or something, man? Nobody can understand this guy.
What'd you say?
No one can understand him.
I understand him fine. I want him to do it again and get the news out right. Remember, we can be sued if our credibility is questioned.
Turn this down for 5 seconds. Are you guys trying to tell me that we got a credibility issue here with Bud's news?
I gotta get it right, and I even forget what it was.
Yeah, you gotta get it right, and he forgets the story. See? Because you were running your big fat mouth.
Yeah, okay, man.
Good, Bud, do it.
This is Bud Dickman, and I made a mistake that I made a mistake about something, and I apologize on a here at the Bud Dickman News.
Go ahead, do it.
This has been Bud Dickman's News.
Perfect.
Get out of here, will you, both of you guys?
No, I gotta get it right.
You didn't get anything right. He came back on and said, oh, I made a mistake. I don't even know what the hell it is you're talking about, man.
I'm talking about the lady.
Oh, get out of here with Helen Thomas, where everybody's sitting. There was one story in there that I really dug, man. I want to read this again. This is great. Fugitives William Dathan Holbert, Laura Michelle Reese, busted in Panama as suspected serial killers. Every time they pull this serial killer thing has become, it's kind of interesting to me. And here, the reason why is there was a time when I was growing up that serial killers, such as when I was very young, the Boston Strangler. I'll never forget the Boston Strangler because it was happening when I was in the sixth grade. I was 11 years old, and it also occurred during the period that President Kennedy was assassinated and the mourning period after that, and really the country coming to grips with that for the many, many months after. Well, it just so happened that in the city of Boston, the Boston Strangler. And then later on in my life came Zodiac. That was the first taste I had of a real nut, you know, a real weird-ass serial killer. And, of course, Manson and all that. So it's always been a very interesting topic for me because these people were always so elusive. To this day, we don't really know who the Zodiac killer was. And there are some people who would argue to this day, we don't really know who the Boston Strangler was. Albert DeSalvo was arrested. And there are people who would swear up and down, he didn't do it. Yeah, sure. You know, anytime somebody swears up and down, I don't know. It could very well be. There certainly have been miscarriages of justice in the past. But remember how good psychopaths are at lying, like Jeffrey McDonald is a great example. Jeffrey McDonald, who's the Green Bay, the Green Beret. What are you doing now, man?
I'm just looking up Green Bay.
You see, every time I make a mistake, just a little teeny mistake.
Yeah, man, you're just going to look it up. You meant Green Beret, man, not Green Bay.
I just want to make sure.
You think it's the same thing?
Well, why not make sure?
You think that Green Bay, Wisconsin is the same as a Green Beret?
No, I know one's a town and the other's a hat.
No, the other isn't a hat. The other is a division, a special forces unit of the United States Army, the Green Berets.
But it's a hat.
It could be a hat, yes.
But that's not what he's talking about.
Well, let me just see here. Yeah, you're right. Green Beret and Green Bay. They make a lot of paper there.
Yeah, that's great, bud. Thank you. Oh, speaking of recession-proof, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I almost want to call my good, close, personal friend who I haven't heard from in years, Jeff McCarthy, up there in Green Bay, because Jeff was telling me when we went up for the Packer game, lo these many years ago, it's about 7 years ago now, this coming football season, and we were up there for the Packers and Bears, and it doesn't get much better than that. It just doesn't get much better than that. So let's see, where am I now? I'm speaking about a serial murderer, I'm speaking about the forensics, and now I'm off on Green Bay and the Packers because you can't shut up about, and Jeffrey McDonald.
See?
I'll talk about Green Bay later. Anyway, the Green Beret, Jeffrey McDonald. So he was a born liar. But now with DNA, DNA baby, DNA. Just like Silvio said in The Sopranos when they were going to cut up that fat guy, when him and what's his name, I forget who the guy was that they killed that guy in the there in the club room there at the Bada Bing, and he said, should we cut him up? And he goes, nah, too much DNA. So he knew they were going to, the DNA has been the biggest breakthrough. We've had DNA in criminal investigations. We've had the internet in terms of communication. I mean, this has been a remarkable 100, maybe 50, 60 years. But with DNA, it's changed the investigative landscape in favor of the police like 90%. Today, while we can't stop serial killers from committing that first murder, I'm not saying we can't, but it's very unlikely that we can catch them in a relatively short time after that first murder. And if you think back on the stories that we've had here on the show and we've talked to you about, well, we've talked about some of these freaks that have killed people, these mindless idiots that have killed people and killed them in a very gruesome way, and you find out, well, that was the first murder they committed. You start to think, geez, if we didn't have the kind of investigative technique that we have today with the police, the police officers employ these days, that guy would have gone on to kill 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. He could have been another Gary Ridgway, kill 40 women, 40, 45 women.
That guy killed that many?
Yeah.
Who's he?
He was the Green River Killer. We didn't know who this guy was. The Green River Killer. He killed 40 women. But now we're able to nail these scum before they get too far afield. Now, let's take a look at this group that I'm talking about. This is William Dathan Holbert, And he's traveling with some woman by the name of Laura Michelle Reese. They were arrested by authorities as they attempted to make their way into Nicaragua via Costa Rica. The two are wanted in connection with the deaths of seven fellow Americans in Panama, as well as two Panamanians, according to authorities. Holbert has reportedly confessed to the crimes. That would be Holbert, the man. Police believe the 30-year-old bodybuilder befriended the victims, shot them in the head, buried their bodies, then stole their homes and businesses. He picked out his victims after making their acquaintance, said Angel Calderon, a prosecuting attorney, London's Guardian reports. Knowing that nobody would ask about them, he got rid of them. No one would ask about them. They were homeowners. They were business owners. So it's interesting. Is that the only thing we got on that?
I think so, yeah.
Well, that sucks, man. I want to get more information on this. All right, well, we'll find out more about William Dathan Holbert. And this woman that he was with, traveling with, her name is Laura Michelle Reese. We come back from our break. We're taking a break here. Here's the complete story. You know what, Charles? Hold on for a second, brother, because I'm going to finish this because I just got this from Jace. It's unclear what role Reese played in the alleged scheme. Holbert is no stranger to law enforcement. The father of three lived in North Carolina until several years ago when he eventually left his wife. And during a brief stint as a gym manager, met Reese. He also stole $25,000, according to the Associated Press, then sold a $200,000 house and car he didn't own and escaped police while traveling through several states. He's allegedly posed as a doctor and ran several scams with Reese, selling property that didn't belong to them, authorities said. The two were last seen in Florida in 2006 and were featured on America's Most Wanted. Police in Panama began investigating Holbert and Reese when two bodies were found near a home the two had lived in under false names. Well, there you are. So they got away with all kinds of murders, you know.
Yeah, they got away on account of they was doing it in Panama where they don't have, like, the DNA.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they got DNA investigation down there. But these are Americans. They're on the move, and they're probably killing people in a couple of different countries. So I'm not saying that, you know, we've cracked the problem of serial murders. I'm just saying it seems like, to me, that we are capturing them a lot sooner than we used to, where we had these guys, we're looking for them for years, man.
What about that BTK? That guy was, he was gone a long time.
Yeah.
Well, BTK, yeah. Yeah, that guy was gone a long time is right. They finally got him in the last few years. All right, we're going to tell you about two party schools, the top party schools in the nation, plus alcohol consumption is at an all-time high in the U.S. Can you blame us? 877-876-PHIL, the world famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
What about the Zodiac? You get him yet?
No, man, I told you.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back, and don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. You pick up a backstage pass. It gives you access to our live streaming video and audio every night. Gives you access to all of our podcasts now that you can download automatically. Gives you access to not only the full show podcast, but our classics, Phil Hendry Classics podcast. And you also have access to our comments section. You have access to an enormous archive of great radio material. And a lot of other things that will be forthcoming. Our merchandise store is going to be opening soon. Oh, you guys thought we forgot that, huh?
Are you kidding, man? People are going to be so jazzed about that, they won't even believe it.
We have got our merchandise store coming back. And I'd love to tell you what our very first item is going to be. But I don't want to spoil a surprise, you know?
Oh, man, come on.
Nope, I don't want to do it. We're going to load the store up with one of the more popular items we had. And we're going to be doing little giveaways with it, too. So I think people are going to dig that. All right. I got into this whole thing with Jason about that thing I saw on ID.
Man, that was really interesting.
I know, but I don't want to get into another story about... There's too much other stuff going on here, man. Now, we did want to give the party schools... here's the story, though, that we left the last segment with. It might be interesting to know that Americans are drinking more alcohol than they have in the last 25 years. More U.S. adults drink now than since 1985, according to a poll. When the economy's in the tank, do more Americans drown their sorrows in alcohol? Well, times are tough, and the number of U.S. adults drinking booze is at a 25-year high. However, just something to think about, at a 25-year high, so that means that the 1985 was the last time we drank more, and we were in the middle of a boom period, so I guess that shoots that theory, don't it?
Oh, that's a good point, man.
That's a good point.
If in 1985 there was a boom period, you're saying?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
It means times were good.
And people was drinking a lot? Probably they were partying, that makes sense.
No, man, he's saying that people are drinking more if times are bad.
People are going to drink no matter what. People are going to drink because it's good. People are going to drink because it's bad. People are going to drink because it's boring. People are going to drink because it's exciting. 67% of Americans say they drink, the poll reports, the highest percentage since 1985. Well, times are tough. But Gallup, which has been keeping track of U.S. drinking habits for the last 71 years, reports that while the numbers move up and down slightly each year, the statistics on American drinking are surprisingly steady. When Gallup first started keeping track during the tail end of the Great Depression in 1939, 58% of adults said they drank alcohol. How much of this is true, though?
Yeah, I was going to say, man, a lot of people back then didn't want to admit they drank.
Why not?
Because it was considered to be religiously bad, you know.
Are you going to hell or something?
Yeah, they thought, I'll never forget my mom talking about her grandmother would take a sip of, I guess she drank, but she didn't want nobody to know she drank because it was, like, against a religion or something.
Yeah, it was very, you know, there was a very big religion in America has attached itself to a variety of social questions. Booze, okay? Evolution, pornography, homosexuality. These are different issues. And I have to tell you, if you look at history, I don't know when they've ever been on the winning side.
Are you talking about like Christians and stuff?
Yeah, when have they been on the winning side of a social question? The evolution question, they have lost, and the reason why they lost it isn't because they got shouted down. The science. The prohibition question, they lost. It isn't because they got shouted down or screamed down. It's because we realized that some people could drink and not be sinners. Some people could drink and not be moral reprobates. Some people could drink and they wouldn't lose their souls. All right. Pornography, they also lost that battle because while it is true that there is a lot of pornography, it's also true that there is such a thing as freedom of speech, free expression, and the separating from the community at large. These areas, these enclaves where pornography is either sold or is celebrated. So, for instance, you can have an adult bookstore, but we don't want it near our school. We don't want it near our homes. You know, keep that crap away from us. These are things you do to adjust to the demands of a free society, free speech. And I don't think that the religious right has ever really been broad-minded enough to think of it that way. And now we have this question of homosexuality. And
well, you said it just like a gay guy.
Yeah, you did.
What do you mean?
You know, now we have the question of homosexuality. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, it sounds just like that, man.
Oh, okay. Well, that's... How observant of you guys.
Yeah, you did though, man. And now we have the question of homosexuality.
It sounds just like that.
Yeah, and what?
Well, you blew it, man. You blew it.
Yeah, in the words of Robert De Niro, you blew it. You blew it.
How did I blow it?
Just now, nobody's going to listen to you because you're all homosexuality. You got to watch the way you say that. And I'm like, oh,
get out of here, both of you clowns, all right? And take that Mountain Dew out of here, man. I've been drinking that stuff like water.
It's your fault, man.
Yeah, my fault. All right, anyway, never mind. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Our website, philhenryshow.com. If you want to visit us on Twitter, we're at twitter.com/PhilHenryShow, twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. If you want to visit us at Facebook, it's facebook.com/PhilHenry. But visit us. God bless. See you. Produced by Jason Rantz, Technical Director Charles Wagon. Our screener was Dan Northcraft. Later and greater.
Phil Hendry.